From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues this series of studies in the Lord's Prayer as he brings the opening portion of a message entitled, Food for Our Good. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook, by C.H. Spurgeon. Today's devotional is entitled, Immortal Till Work Done. The text is Psalm 118 and verse 17. I shall not die, but live, and declare the works of the Lord. A fair assurance this. It was no doubt based upon a promise inwardly whispered in the psalmist's heart, which he seized upon and enjoyed. Is my case like that of David? Am I depressed because the enemy affronts me? Are there multitudes against me and few on my side? Does unbelief bid me lie down and die in despair, a defeated, dishonored man? Do my enemies begin to dig my grave? What then? Shall I yield to the whisper of fear and give up the battle and with it give up all hope? Far from it. There is life in me yet. I shall not die. Vigor will return and remove my weakness. I shall live. The Lord lives, and I shall live also. My mouth shall again be opened. I shall declare the works of Jehovah. Yes, and I shall speak of the present trouble as another instance of the wonder-working faithfulness and love of the Lord my God. Those who would gladly measure me for my coffin had better wait a bit, for the Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Glory be to his name forever. I am immortal till my work is done. Till the Lord wills it, no vault can close upon me.
I trust in God, I trust in God.
God, wherever I may be,
Father watches over me. I trust in God.
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help, free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. Today, Dr. Cairns continues to examine the teaching behind the second division of the petitions found in the Lord's Prayer, focusing particularly upon the apparently simple request, "Give us this day our daily bread." As he begins the message, Dr. Cairns clarifies the meaning of daily bread, a phrase which has occasioned some controversy among biblical scholars. In essence, the expression refers to what is most obvious, simple food for our bodies. However, the Savior's teaching here goes much deeper than a mere request for bread. First of all, the petition reminds us of the vast contrast between mankind and God. We are but children of the day, but our God is eternal. So, as we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," we are reminded of our mortality. Now here is Dr. Cairns to introduce this message called Food for Our Good.
We're going to read this morning in the book of Exodus chapter 16, though the text will continue to be from Matthew 6. The reading will be from Exodus 16. It's the longest chapter, so for the sake of time, we're going to read verses 1 to 5. Take up the reading at verse 14 and read through to verse 18. And then jump down to verse 31 for the final verses of the chapter. Exodus 16, verse 1 to 5. "And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. It shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." Verse 14. "And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost on the ground. When the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. And this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered, some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating." Verse 31. "And the house of Israel called the name thereof Manna. It was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. And Moses said, This is the thing which the Lord commanded, Fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness, when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. Moses said unto Aaron, Take a pot, and put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. And the Lord commanded Moses, and so Aaron kept it, or laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years, until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is the tenth part of an ephah." The Lord will add His own blessing to the reading of His word for His name's sake. We return this morning to Matthew chapter 6. We have been considering for quite a long time now the preamble or to the Lord's Prayer, then the Lord's Prayer itself. And last week, if you recollect, we came to the great division that there is in this prayer between the first three petitions and the petitions which follow. In the first three petitions, we don't enter into it at all, directly, except as an instrument that God uses to fulfill them. But when we come to the fourth petition, it is, give us this day our daily bread. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 11. We looked at the petitions for ourselves generally last week, took an overview of them to try to get the overall importance of them, and now we come to look at them one by one. Today, verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Can you think of anything simpler? A child understands that. A very small child understands that. Give us this day our daily bread. Nothing could be simpler. And yet the more you look at it, you'll find that with all its simplicity, the Lord Jesus says in it a lot more than at first appears. But despite that, despite not only the simplicity, but the profundity of it, very early in church history, people found this petition just too simple for their liking. And they couldn't accept it for what it was. And so they commenced a very tortuous method of Bible interpretation and of explaining this verse that for centuries robbed it for the ordinary people of its plain, obvious, intended and blessed meaning. The trouble all began with the word daily. Give us this day our daily bread. To this day, that's a word that causes scholars and linguists all sorts of problems. The trouble with the word is that it's unique. It's used in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. It's used also in the corresponding passage in Luke chapter 11. Outside of that, doesn't appear anywhere else in the New Testament. Not only does it not appear in the New Testament, doesn't appear anywhere else in Greek literature. Scholars have searched every Greek writer they could find to try and discover the usage of this word. But they couldn't find any. In fact, it wasn't until this century that they finally got this word in a papyrus fragment. The first time they came across it, they were so delighted that they found this Greek word, they overlooked something that a very famous Greek professor finally proved, that it might have been written in Greek, but it wasn't Greek at all in the usage that they were looking at. It was an Armenian text that was simply put down in Greek writing, so that didn't get them very much further. What an Armenian thinks of it, there's a world of difference for the sake of you who don't listen very carefully. There's a world of difference between an Armenian and an Arminian. An Arminian is a theological misfit. An Armenian is a Turk. So, just remember that's the difference. Just a little bit of information as you go along. Anyway, they had trouble. What does it mean? They finally found a fragment that was giving you a list of things that were obviously items for market. And they saw this word, at least they think they saw this word. The trouble was, the ending was broken off. And they're not quite sure if it was exactly this word they think it was. They conjecture it was. So, with all this difficulty about this one apparently very simple word, there was all sorts of speculation. When you can't trace how people who spoke the Greek language used a particular word, you're thrown back upon seeing how it's composed, how it's derived, what's called its etymology. Where did it come from? How did it get to be made up the way it is made up? And they discovered it was made up of two words. And so they came to consider this derivation. Now, either it comes from the verb to be or the verb that means to come or to go. To come or to go was too simple. So many of them, the early church fathers, derived it from the verb to be. And that led them to great speculation. This is the bread of being. In fact, when Jerome came to translate the Bible into what is known as the Latin Vulgate, I'm not sure if he coined or just adopted a Latin word that means supersubstantial. You see, it comes from the verb to be. It is the bread of being, the bread of life. This is supersubstantial bread. That simply means it's not bread that you actually would bake in an oven. It's not bread that you would take and put between your teeth as part of your meal. It's supersubstantial bread. And therefore it came to be the communion bread, which was Christ being eaten, ultimately, at the table. Some who didn't go that far took it, well, it's spiritual bread, it's Christ that's meant here. Give us this day, every day. And of course you can see how popery built on this. Give us every day the bread of the Eucharist. That's how they began to build up their whole Eucharistic nonsense. As I say, some more spiritual people came, give us the bread of life, give us Christ. We have something more to say about that before we're finished. Trouble with all these things is the word cannot be made up from the verb to be. I'm not going into the technicalities this morning. This is not a linguistics class, so we'll not bother about that. Take my word for it, it could not come from the verb to be. It comes from the verb to come or to go. And that settles its meaning. In fact, when you turn to the book of Acts, and you can start at chapter 7:26, and there's four or five texts through the book of Acts where you'll find this, a word that's very close to this, very, very similar. And it is translated the next day, or the following day, in one case the following night. The words are so very close that I think this will settle the meaning. This is really what it means. It's the day coming. It's the day following. What the Lord Jesus is saying to pray for here is, give us today the bread for the coming day. That's what he's saying. The idea is not so much on time as on amount. We were reading from Exodus chapter 16, and I think you'll see the correspondence there. Give us enough bread for the day. Give us the bread that we need for the day. And that's why many modern translators will say, give us today our needed bread. Not that this is the word for need, but this is the word that gives you the picture of bread enough for today. That's simply what the Lord Jesus is telling his people to pray for. There's no reference to communion bread, no reference to a Eucharistic sacrifice or meal. Indeed, strictly speaking, there is not even a reference here to Christ as the bread of life. We must not lose the simplicity of the text. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying, as the children of Israel went out day by day to gather manna, and they were dependent on God to send them that manna, remember, you're in the very same position. You may not live in a wilderness, you may not live in a famine area, you may feel that there are shops enough with bread enough and food enough and you have money enough and you're not dependent on God at all. He says, look beyond that mirage and see the reality that you, as much as they, depend on the God of heaven for your daily bread. And so therefore, you should cry to him day by day as they went out each day to gather their bread. Day by day, you should pray to him, give us today our daily bread. I want us to spend a little time in this morning, thinking of this food for our bodily good. The Lord Jesus taught us to pray that the Father in heaven would graciously give us what we need to sustain life and to enjoy life. That's what he's telling us to pray for. And as he does so, he teaches us some very important truths. Give us what we need for the coming day. Some people have found a difficulty there. Does Jesus say, take no thought for the morrow? Yes, he does. Well, then how does he say, give us today bread for the coming day? It's nitpicking. The Lord Jesus says, take no anxious thought for tomorrow. He doesn't say, don't pray about tomorrow. Take no anxious thought about tomorrow. If you pray this prayer in the morning, and there's not a better way to start the day, this would then mean, Lord, provide for us today. If you pray this prayer just before you go to sleep, and there's not a better way to end the day, it means, Lord, even while we sleep, be preparing for the day that's soon to dawn. That's what we're to pray.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.